understanding of that truth today. We just want to take a time, a few minutes here, to some ministry time. So just invite you to stay standing just for a few minutes longer. I've got two of my friends up here, Ryan and Tony. They are on the board here at the church and also are part of our foundation of our prophetic team and ministry here. And they love Jesus and they love this church. And I've just asked them to just share anything that they would like to lead us in ministry-wise this morning. So I'll let you guys take it away.
The word I kept hearing this morning was hope. And then when they come up and started singing the song, Turning Graves into Garden, and I had this picture in my mind. I lost my dad several years ago. And so when I go to his graveside, you know, I stand there. And as you see, and as you look and you see all the tombstones, you see that part. Into a grave looks to me is the loss of expectancy. That's what death is. It is a loss of expectancy. And so when we lose hope, what we're saying, we lose expectation. And I just want to speak to, where are you at in your life that you're standing in the graveyard and you have lost expectancy of God's goodness in your life? That is a lack of hopelessness. But when I'm standing at my dad's grave, I don't see the tombstone and the picture and the dates. What I see, I am standing at a future spot of resurrection. That is a God who can turn a grave into a garden. The seed has been planted into you. What I am asking you to right now is to bring back alive your expectancy in God's goodness. As Jason was talking, he's the God of miracles. Miracles is the routine of God. That's what he does. It is not an out of the ordinary. It is just extraordinary because that's who God is. He is extraordinary by routine. Believe in that goodness and that you can bring back to expectancy. Let me pray over that right now. Whatever you're at that you've lost expectancy, your job, your relationships, what's happening in your future, I want you to just take that right now and just take it to God. Say, God, we come to you. And we admit that we walk into graves many, many times, that we lose expectancy. The experiences that we have in this world like to rob us of hope. But your word says, return to your fortress, O prisoner of hope. Father God, we are prisoners. We are prisoners of hope.
Yes.
We're not prisoners of circumstances. We're not prisoners of defeat. We are prisoners of hope. We expect to you to do something routinely miraculous in our life because you are good. So we stand wherever we at. This is a future site of resurrection.
Yes,
and
yes.
We thank you for that. In your son's Jesus name, I proclaim that over each person.
Amen. Yes.
Woo. So as I was sitting back there just praying into God, the basic form of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And I just feel like God wanted me to have everybody just close your eyes and just remember a time when God, when Jesus performed a miracle in your life. And as you're doing this, I'm just going to pray a blessing over you and just remember that Jesus is goodness. He is in you. He has perfected everything before you. And he has given you the Holy Spirit. And we just pray this over you right now, Lord, that you would just remind us of your goodness, of your truth, that we just live in the freedom that you have given to us, and that we just live it out and just be free from everything, accusations, shame, guilt. We just live in the freedom and the love that you have provided to us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Can we just give a round of applause to the Lord this morning? Yes. As you're having a seat, tell the person on your right, as you're sitting down, man, the grave is an opportunity for resurrection. Come on, come on. It's truth reverberating this morning from Reverend Tony in the house today. Reverend Tony. Yes.
My children are sitting right there. Nobody's believing that.
Hey, y'all
right?
Need to listen to your daddy. Listen to him more often.
Yeah. They'll give you a testimony. Yeah.
Every kid does,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
If they only knew.
Never give them a mic, please. Yeah, if we would. What a privilege for us to serve on the board. And man, it's such a trying time in this over a year of this pandemic that has created a lot of delay within our lives. There's something that's been delayed, whether it's a vacation or any kind of change. And one of the things that was delayed here at Christ Fellowship was actually Derek's sabbatical. It was on schedule last summer for Derek to go on his sabbatical. And some people say, well, sabbatical, what does that mean? It means really what it says. It's a Sabbath. So really think about, what is a Sabbath? It is a time for rest. It's time for renewal. It's a time for rejuvenation. It's a time for healing. But a lot of times, what is the greatest thing, it's a time to dream with God. To set back and set aside a time, because that's what Jesus modeled for us. Jesus set a time away with the Father to say, pour into me what you want to see through me. And as our leader at Christ Fellowship, that's what we want. We want somebody dreaming with God, having the time to be poured into so that they can bring vision and direction. And so after this Sunday, Derek will be starting his sabbatical that will last to the end of July. And it's a time of rest and a time of rejuvenation. And this has kind of been pre-planned for some time. I'll let Brian speak into that.
So before Derek even came on, the board of directors and leadership decided to make a sabbatical mandatory, basically, for the preacher or pastor to go on to rejuvenate, like Tony said, and to make sure that they are living in a good state of mind. And it's a healthy for the church community and for our church to do that. So we are appreciative that we have this ability to have that sabbatical.
I think it's that part of realize it doesn't matter who is, as we were doing this pastoral search at that point in time, it didn't matter who was standing on this stage. They were going to be going on a sabbatical after those 3 years. That was a part of the search team, the people, the consultants that we brought in said, this is what you need to do. You need to have the time for somebody coming in brand new, did not know us, we did not know them, really what the church is like and coming in and how the future direction. And man, what some wonderful changes that we have experienced in these last 4 years, but to have the opportunity going forward, because sabbatical is just not this time. It is a routine. It's built into our employee manual, to all the pastors at this church. Derek's is just a lot more visible than you see with other people. So we ask you, hey, if you got any questions, concerns, you can go on our website and look at each one of the board members there that you want to speak to us about it. But what I would like to ask for you to do as a church is to join us. This sabbatical is just not a part for the leadership is doing. It's what you're to do as a body, to spend this time praying for Derek, praying for his family, praying for direction, praying for our city, and praying for where your part is in this future of the church. Because Derek can come back with a great vision, but if there's no participation in that vision, it's just that, it's a vision. It is our opportunity, it is our responsibility to carry out this vision. So what I would ask you to help to do what we're modeling at this point. Set some sabbatical time for yourself. Each one of us need this. Each one of us need this time away to pull away and to say, God, what are you wanting me to do? What are you wanting to do through me is really what we're asking, and is remembering, God, you are wanting to do something. So we like to take this time and just to pray over Derek. I'll ask you just to extend your hand out towards him. If you come in here between me and Brian. So Brian, if you'd like to start it off, and we'll pray for him.
Father God, I just thank you for Derek and what he has been to this church and his leadership, Lord. And I just pray, Father, as he goes on this sabbatical, that he just rests in your love and your peace. And we just pray that you would just bless him with your revelations and pour it out on him, Lord, as he moves forward in these next few weeks. And I pray that we would just uplift him in our minds and in our hearts as he is on this sabbatical, that we would just keep him in our prayers and just look upon him, and we thank you for him.
Dear Lord, I just pray for rest for Derek during this time in all aspects, to realize of your greatness and your faithfulness, that his flock is attended while he's away. And I'm just not talking about CF, I'm talking about his family. Dear Lord, that you are going to be there guiding, that there's going to be a season for growth, renewal, restoration, not only for himself, but for his whole family. As he returns back, he will see the goodness and greatness of your working within his children's and within his wife's life. Dear Lord, that he's just a conduit. He's not the conductor. He is just a conduit, dear Father. And so I just pray that he walk away, that he be able to walk in the freedom to download into you and just to receive all that you have for him. Dear Lord, I pray for as a church that we are faithful to the ministry as we come back, as we continue forward, that Derek will actually come back to an area as he comes back in July that will actually be a season of growth at Christ Fellowship. We're not ever looking to maintain, because we never look to but one person, and that is the person of Jesus Christ, to bring about your spirit and your work within us. So as he steps away, we commit to you and commit to him as a church, Father God, that we continue to look and strive after the leading of the Holy Spirit and give us the courage to follow through. And we just pray this blessing upon this city, upon this church, and especially upon Derek in this season. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Whew. Hey, you know what that means? I got 6 weeks worth of messages here today. 6 weeks worth of passion. No, I'm just playing with you guys. Hey, it is one of the things that I love. Thank you for the board. So grateful for them. You know, a lot of pastor friends that I have don't really like their board, if I'm just being honest, the board of directors or their leadership. They kind of don't look forward to board meetings, but it's actually one of the highlights of my month. So after second service, we're going to actually roll together. We're going to eat some lunch, and then we're going to spend a couple hours together praying over the church and talking about what God's doing, and so I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful to be part of a church that's not built around a person. How many of you are so grateful that we're part of a church that's not built around a person or a pastor? Yeah, we can clap for that. I love that. It's not a personality driven. Who builds the church? Jesus. Oh, Lord, help us if we ever think that we build the church. And so I'm so grateful that we are part of a church, Christ Fellowship, that's not built on a person, not built on a person's vision or dream, but actually that Christ is the one who forms and builds his church and the one that sustains it. And I got to tell you, I'm a little envious, because over the next 6 weeks, you're going to hear from some amazing, amazing, amazing teachers here from our own church. Next week, we're going to start a series entitled Fresh. Each person this summer is going to share what is the fresh thing that God's teaching them. What is he doing in their life? And as they teach that, we also have some testimonies that are going to be shared via video of what God is doing in our community. It's going to be an amazing time. And I do believe that we're not taking off the gas pedal, the throttle, and putting it in neutral. We're actually saying, hey, let's go. Let's shift up gear and let's keep going after what God's doing. And so I'm going to miss y'all for sure, but I look forward to getting back. I'll be praying for you, and I'd appreciate your prayers as I'm taking some time away with my family and time by myself. Today, I do want to finish up our series entitled Empowered, and this clock back there is killing me, so I got a lot to say, so I'm just going to jump right into it. So Luke chapter 4, if y'all could join with me, we're going to be in Luke chapter 4, and I don't know how we're going to do this today. 1 Corinthians 12, that one is like a series, and then Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be all over the place today, and I'm probably going to talk fast. So I know down in the South, it's a little slower, and I've already had people tell me, Derek, slow down, and I'm trying my best to assimilate, but today is probably not the day I'm going to take a step in that direction. So today, I want to talk about being empowered, and I want to set the foundation of what does that look like, and the one who gave us the model for being empowered is Jesus. And so when we look at Jesus, what we see is a man who is fully God. How many of you know Jesus was fully God all the time? Anybody agree with that, right? How many of you also know that he was fully man? Not even 50-50, fully. It blows our minds. We can't fully comprehend it, but in faith we believe that he was fully God all times, yet he emptied himself and became fully man. And so when we look at Jesus, we see a man walking the earth led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so Luke chapter 4 is where Jesus had just been baptized in the Jordan, which we're going to celebrate our baptism next Sunday on Father's Day. If you have not been baptized, I would encourage you to follow the teaching and the example of Jesus. But Jesus was baptized, and then it says here in chapter 4, look at verse 1, it says, and Jesus was full of the what? Full of the who? Holy Spirit. And he was, look at this, it says, and he returned from the Jordan and was led by the who? The Spirit. Now think about this. Jesus, Son of God, fully God. Everybody amen to that, right? Fully man too. It says that God became flesh, dwelt among us, and that he was filled with the Spirit. That's what we've been talking about, being full of the Holy Spirit, being empowered by the Spirit. And it says here that Jesus, our Messiah, our King, our friend, he was also led by the Spirit of God. Oh, man, we could learn something. If Jesus walked full of the Spirit, and he's Jesus, how much more do you and I need to be filled with the Spirit continuously? If Jesus, who was perfect in every way, he was led by the Spirit of God, how much more, as followers of Jesus, do we need to be led by the Spirit of God? And so then he goes into the wilderness for 40 days. He fasts. It says that he actually gets hungry. You know why? Because he was human. We read this and we don't get it sometimes. Fully human. Jesus got hungry after 40 days of not eating. Some of you are like, 40 minutes. Come on. 40 days. Man, Jesus fast. Him and Moses, man, up there. A few others. It's awesome. But he was hungry and he came out of that fast and he was tempted three specific times that we at least have from the text. Three times that Satan himself shows up and tempts Jesus, twists the truth. It's what Satan does in your life. He just takes a little truth and just twists it just a little bit. It's what he does in churches. It's what he does in community. He just takes a little truth, twists it a little bit. And this is what he was offering Jesus. And each time, Jesus responded with truth. He didn't refute him with his emotions. He didn't refute him with anything other than what was true. And look what happens in verse 14. So this is the same right after the 48. It says, Jesus returned in the power of the who? Okay, my front row people are getting me. Jesus returned in the what? Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. This is the beginning of his ministry, his public ministry. He goes into the secret place, the hiding place. He navigates these attacks of the enemy, and it says that he leaves this place under the power of the Spirit. The next day, he shows up to church. He shows up on the Sabbath, and they're reading a text that day. And so if you're following along here, I'm just verse 18 now. Jesus gets up and he reads from Isaiah 61. This is the scripture. So just picture Jesus has a scroll now. He's reading now in the temple. Many religious leaders, very good rabbis, well-known rabbis, and others in the room. And Jesus gets up and he says this: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery, sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and he said this: today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Imagine how the room shifted in that moment. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus was reading from Isaiah 61. And when he says, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing, what he's saying is who Isaiah was talking about. I'm him. Fully God, fully human. Filled with the Spirit of God, led by the Spirit of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, anointed by the Spirit of God. So you wonder why we're talking about empowered by the Spirit of God, because our model, Jesus Christ, he modeled for us what it looks like to live a life empowered and led by the Holy Spirit. And what I see in Jesus' life is two ways predominantly that we see him express the Father, because one of the beautiful things about Jesus, he came to reveal the Father. And so two ways Jesus does this. One way is he reveals the character of God. And on the other hand, Jesus reveals the power of God. Some of the things we just sang about, miracles. And what I see in Jesus is it wasn't one or the other. Like he demonstrated fully, what does the Father look like when he interacts with somebody that's poor? What does God look like when he sits at the bedside of somebody who's sick? What's the Father think when somebody's caught in the very act of adultery and God, Jesus, is in that midst? He shows us the character of God, but he also shows us the power of God. Did Jesus heal people when he walked the earth? Yeah, did he cast out demons? Yeah, very real demons. He cast them out. Did he raise the dead? Yeah. Did he know things about people but that he shouldn't have known otherwise? Yes. The answer is yes today, by the way. Yes, he did. And so we see Jesus, man, he models this, but as a church, who is the head of the church? Not me. Ooh. Who's the head of the church? Christ. He is the head of the church. We're growing into him. And so let me ask you, if the head operates with supernatural power and supernatural character, should the body follow? Whew. But what happens, here's just being honest, because there's some people in the room, you're like, oh, what is this? Here's what happens generally, is the church in the past, the church, capital C church, usually tends to lean one way or the other. Like we're gonna lean way into the character of God, which is beautiful, and we don't really need that supernatural thing, that power thing. Or we're gonna lean into the power thing, and you know, who cares about integrity? Who cares if I'm cheating on my wife? No. God cares. Maybe that's a word for somebody, by the way. And so how do we be a church that follows after the model of Jesus? How do we be a church that says, man, Christ is our head, and we are being equipped and empowered to follow in his footsteps? That's what I want to talk about today. And so I want to talk about both these, the supernatural power of God as we're empowered by the Spirit, but also the supernatural character of God that we're called to reveal on the earth. So if you've got your Bible, flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's going to be a miracle if I get you guys out of here before a buffet opens up or closes down. Just joking. Hang tight with me today. It's going to be worth it, I believe. So 1 Corinthians 12. So Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. This is a well-known passage for a lot of different reasons. It's highly contested, a lot of questions about it. I don't know, honestly, when I read the text and I don't bring my tradition and my baggage into it, if I just open up the text and I read it, I personally don't think there's a lot of questions there. But I get like traditions and bad experiences. We bring those and we project those onto this. But I'm just going to read the first 11 verses, and then give you just a little commentary about this. So Paul is writing to the church of Corinth, not unbelievers, but people following Jesus. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." Now just think about that. Like I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, 25 years in church, I never heard anybody talk about spiritual gifts. And so what was I? I was uninformed, which is the very thing that the Bible says, don't be what? Uninformed, right? Which is baffling that we sometimes get weird when we're doing the very thing the Bible tells us to do, right? It's an interesting thought. He says, "I don't want you to be uninformed of the spiritual gifts." He says, "You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking of the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit." Now look at what happens in verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same capital S Spirit, Holy Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who," there's the word, this is why I came here today, "who" what? "Empowers." What is the title of the series? "Empowered." "Who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles like we just sang about, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, so discernment, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are, there it is, empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to those, to each one, individually as he wills. Now, once again, if we just open this, if somebody's like, we just got dropped into earth and somebody gave us this page and said, read this, I think it would honestly be a very different read for many of us. And so I just want to give you a little commentary about this. I want us to first see that there is no spiritual gift apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts at its core are really what they say they are. They are gifts, which there are many. This is not an all-inclusive list, by the way. There are many different gifts, but there is no spiritual gift apart from the Holy Spirit. I need you to see this, all right? I need you to hear this. You and I, we need the Spirit of God in our life, filling us, leading us, if we're gonna see spiritual gifts in our life. And what I love about these spiritual gifts that he tells us, and this is where we can all take a deep breath, the purpose of spiritual gifts is not for you to have a well-known ministry. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to not make the person beside you think more of you and less of themselves. The purpose of spiritual gifts is this, for the good of the community. Do you see the beauty of this? That he says, listen, this is what it's for. It's for the common good. It's not to pump yourself up. It's not for me to look at me. I've got a bigger feather in my cap than you. No. That is from the pit of hell. The gifts of God, when they are purely laid out and operated in a body, in a church, it is for the common good. What I want you to see here is that for us as a church, I believe reading this text, reading chapter 13 and 14, leads me to believe that if our church is gonna be everything that God desires it to be, which do you know that God has desires for our church? God has desires for you. He has desires for every church. That if we're gonna be all that God designed us to be, if we're gonna be fulfillment of his heart, then we need to be a people that are open to what the Spirit of God wants to do in each one of our lives individually. Because it's for the common good, right? Now, the other thing about gifts I want you to see is that gifts are not earned. They are received and activated. And this one right here is where a lot of people get sideways with gifts and where there's a bad name in some places or bad experiences. It's because over time, religion has a weird way of creeping into things. Religion is usually it's led by a spirit of fear and control. And it's always trying to manipulate, trying to get you to do something. But it says here, these are the gifts of the Spirit. And I want you to hear me that gifts are given, they're not taken. The moment that we think, I gotta do something, I gotta perform, and then I'll get a gift, it's the very time that God says, nope, you're not ready for that gift. Because in his generosity, if he gave us the gift and we were working for it, we would believe that I worked for that gift and it wasn't by grace, it was by works. And then I would have a reason to boast. But Paul says there's no space to boast in Christ because it's grace. Anybody else love grace? It's grace. It's a gift. And so the first part of spiritual gifts, if we're going to live empowered in the supernatural work of God, the power of God, it first is receive. We've got to recognize the gift. We've got to receive the gift. But then we've got to do something else. We've got to activate it. And this is where we miss it most of the time. A few days ago, my wife turned 25 for the 13th time. Don't tell her I told you that, but she's beautiful. Oh my goodness, I love that lady. And so she is a writer, and she has been using the same computer for like 8 or 9 years. It actually just died a few weeks ago. And so I surprised her with a new laptop because I really wanted to spur her on to creativity and to write and to put her gift, one of the gifts that she has been given by the Spirit of God, into practice. Now, so we went to Knoxville. We picked up the computer. The computer is still sitting fully wrapped in its plastic on my counter. In our kitchen. Now, here's my question. Has my wife received the gift that I bought her? Remember, the answer is yes. So has she received it? Yes. Okay. But has she activated it? No. Does she have the gift? That's the answer. Back row. Does she have the gift? Yes. But she hasn't activated it. So it's sitting there. It's beautiful. Is that gift fully capable of doing what it was designed to do? And y'all are catching on, man. Y'all super. I'm going to go into 6 weeks and be like, these people get it. They know how to say yes. But it's not until later today that my family gets around and we open up the gift. And we turn it on, we push the power button. And it's not until she brings it into our bedroom where she has her little writing desk and she opens it up and she prays and asks the Lord to speak to her. And then she begins to make music through the keys of the keyboard as she allows God to speak through her, that gift is activated. It's the same thing with spiritual gifts. Who gives the spiritual gifts? Spirit. As he wills, he gives the gifts. But many of us are walking around, we got so many gifts, we've got so much that God has given us, but we are walking around still with the wrapping on it, and we haven't opened it up yet. And we wonder why we don't see the power of God. Let me just give you a couple examples of this, what this looks like. So let's say I have desired and I feel like God has given me the gift of healing. How many of you would like to have the gift of healing on your life besides me? Yeah. So how many of you know the gift of healing is great, but how many of you know that gift of healing will never actually be expressed until I pray for somebody who's sick? I got the gift of healing. Man, don't tell me your back's hurting to work. I ain't gonna pray for you. See, I can have the gift of healing, but I actually have to put it into practice. Let me just ask you this. How about the gift of generosity? Some of you are like, man, I don't want that gift. Some of y'all have that gift, and you're fighting it, honestly. But let me just say, there's so many people that are generous in this church, and we're so grateful to walk through the season we have financially. Thank you if you give to this church. I just want to personally thank you before I head out. Thank you for your generosity and faithfulness. But the gift of generosity is the actual spiritual gift that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 12. He says, it is a gift that some of us have. But let me ask you, if I have the gift of generosity, when I walk into church or when I pay my tip, does my money just fly out of my wallet? You know what I have to do? I've got to recognize the need, recognize my ability to meet that need, and then I get out my money or I get out my check or I get online and I give. Do you see how we don't just receive, we actually got to activate it? Or here's one that's real practical, and I love talking about it, but the gift of tongues. It's usually pretty weird, but let me just tell you, the gift of tongues. My son was taking his driver's permit test this week, and he was taking his test, and I'm standing there with the clerk. She was actually very nice, by the way. She's great when you go to the DMV and they're nice to you. It's awesome. It was very efficient, actually, so kudos to Stone Drive, DMV, love those guys. But I'm standing there, and I take a step back. My son's taking the test, and here's the thing I know about this permit test is I drive every day, but I would never pass that test. Anybody else, like, and so here's the thing, like, the scriptures say, you know, sometimes we know what to pray. Like, sometimes I literally do know what to pray. On this one, like, I don't know what to pray. Like, I don't know the answers. Like, I don't even know what to pray, and so guess what I was doing under my breath? I was praying in tongues. That may sound weird to you, but it sounds actually deeply biblical to me because I'm like, I don't know what to pray. It wasn't weird. It wasn't like, what's that noise? What's that noise? No, just to myself. I step back, and I'm praying for my son because I literally did not know what to pray. And that happens all the time. When I don't know how to pray for the church, when I don't know about a situation, I don't know about a meeting coming up. Biblically, what it says is the gift of tongues helps us to align ourselves with what God is saying. And I wasn't until I was about 25 that I ever even had any concept of what this gift really was other than what I thought was weird, honestly. And what I thought was that, if I had the gift of tongues, that things would just fly out of my mouth. Like, I wouldn't even have to do it. Like, it would just fly out of my mouth. But after a long time of asking the Lord, I believe this is a beautiful grace that you've given us, the gift, I realized that I have to still open up my mouth in faith. You know why? Because we're called to participate. We actually are part of seeing the power of God flow through us. And so whether it's tongues, whether it's healing, whether it's generosity, whether it's a teaching gift, I had a teaching gift for a long time, but I was scared to death of public speaking. So guess what never came out? My teaching gift. And so it wasn't for the common good. It just sat here idle, unwrapped, right? And so if we are going to walk in the power of God, we've got to recognize that we are participants, that we actually get to activate what God has placed in us. That's why Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:6, and says, "Fan into flame the gift of God, which was given to you through the laying out of hands." Fan into flames. I want to be here today to tell you, you are to fan in the flame the gift that God has already deposited in you. That means that you co-labor, that you participate with what God has already put in. Stop waiting for things to just come out of you. Take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. It's teaching. Man, you go in there and you teach second to your two-year-olds like Jeff is. And I'm more scared to teach four-year-olds than I am y'all. No, seriously. You got a gift of generosity? Man, look for somebody just to bless. Got a gift of word of knowledge or word of wisdom? Step out in faith. It doesn't just fly out of us. He says, listen, I'm inviting you. I've given you something. I want you, Derek, to unwrap it, and I want you to offer it up to the community for the good of the community. And so if we're going to walk in power as God's called us to, it isn't just receiving it, but it's also activated, and I believe it shows the world Jesus. And so the second part I want to hit on is Galatians chapter 5. If you're with me, go ahead and flip over to Galatians chapter 5. And so to walk under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and supernatural power requires us to receive and activate what God has already put in us, that we are actually participants. But we as a church, we're not just the people that love the power of God. We also want to see the character of God formed in us. We want to be mature people, not just people that are drinking milk. We want to grow in maturity into Christ, who's the head of the church. And so Paul is now writing to the church of Galatia, and more believers, and this passage right here, and it's so deep. Let me just read it. It's verse 16. But I say, Paul says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you want to know how I really approach counseling people that are struggling with addiction or struggling with patterns in their life and decisions, it's this right here. I mean, this is like counseling 101. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of your flesh. It's great. Like, boom. How do you not give in to temptation? Become more aware of the Spirit and listen and obey Him. That's been my experience in my addiction. It says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, just as Jesus was led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. So Paul, at the end of that, by the way, he's just saying, anything else like it? Covers anything else. You're like, what about this? Right here. If it's like that, it's covered right here. Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, those that do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, once again, this could be a whole series, and so I literally took 6 weeks and said, I'm going to try to do it in 30 minutes. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, what I want you to see is they are manifestations of God's nature in a person's life. It's what they are. It's the embodiment of Christ. It's Him being incarnate in us, his ways, His thoughts, His ideas, His way of doing life. When we align ourselves with the Spirit of God and walk in the Spirit of God, we begin to see God's heart established in our lives. But this fruit that we're talking about is grown only through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fruit of God, it does not come from hard work. It does not come from labor. It becomes through fellowship. It becomes aware and in our life as we walk with the Spirit, as we become more aware of Him, as we listen to His voice, as we get into the Scriptures and read them not as a weapon against other people, but allow the Scriptures to be a mirror that we say, I want to look more like the God who I find in the Scriptures. And so this fruit, I want you to see, is not forced. It comes through alignment. So just like the gifts of the Spirit, man, I've got this gift of teaching. If I never teach again, that doesn't take away the gift. It just means it's not for the good of the community any longer. I believe that God's given me the gift of faith. From when I was little, I remember laying in bed and I had this big old wart on my thumb that was really embarrassing. And I remember just laying in my bed and said, God, would you take away my wart? Huge wart. And I woke up the next day and it's not there. You know what? That's the gift of faith. It's the gift of faith. And so if I'm not bringing that to the table and offering it to you guys, it's not activated. But the same goes for the fruit in our life. We love to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know who embodied the fruit of the Spirit? Jesus, fully. But the fruit of the Spirit is not accidental. I need you to hear, it's not by accident that we begin to see this. It says that if we are led by the Spirit, if we walk by the Spirit, that means that if this fruit's gonna come out, I've gotta become aware of God in my life in every moment, not just on church Sundays. You know, your mama was right when she said, you're gonna become like those that you hang around. It's very true, in every level, that's so true. If you're a kid, listen, watch who you're hanging around. Who do you wanna be like? That same truth that applies to human beings also applies to us hanging out with the Spirit of God. When we recognize the Spirit of God, when we begin to discern His voice, which we love His voice of this church and love seeing people become aware of His voice, as we become aware of Him and I begin to walk with Him, I begin to learn what He's like. And what happens is what my mama said is that I'm gonna become like the one I hang around. So the fruit of the Spirit comes as I'm walking in my life, as I'm in my marriage, as I'm growing as a dad, as I'm being a leader of this church, as I'm running a business, whatever you do, whatever you have, it's an awareness of God. Where are you? What are you saying? What does your word say, God? And so I become aware of the Spirit. And He says, if you walk by the Spirit, this is what you should expect. You should begin to look, act, think, and smell more and more like God. Not because you forced it. No, it's because I recognize God. I recognize your goodness. I recognize your ways are better than mine. Your thoughts are higher than mine, like we talked about last week. And so I'm gonna submit my ways and my thoughts and my actions to align with you. And when that happens, this amazing thing happens that I begin to allow the fruit of the Spirit to come. You know, Jesus said some amazing things. And one of the most profound things He says is that the people will know you're my disciples by your what? The way you love one another. Not by your influence, not by your income, not by your ministry, not by your sermons. They will know you're my disciples by my love. So today, what I want to end with is I want to end with just praying over you. And then Brian's gonna come out and finish up and call our prayer team. But as I prepare to take some time away and to pray on this sabbatical and to seek the Lord and to take a deep breath and to thank Him for what He has done, to process honestly some things, but also to dream again, I just wanted to pray over each one of us that are here today. And specifically, I wanna give you just a moment to ask the Lord yourself. So if we're talking about being empowered by the Spirit of God and Jesus being our model, He had both the power of God, the healing, the deliverance, all the power miracle thing, but He also had this beautiful way of revealing the Father's heart, His character. So today, I just want to ask you, man, what is the one thing that you would ask of each? Like, what is today? You're like, man, God, this is what I want. Like, I would love to have this spiritual gift. And I want to tell you, that's totally legal here because Paul says, pursue love and desire the what? Spiritual gifts. So it's good that you desire spiritual gifts. It's actually God in you, right? And so I would ask you today, what is one spiritual gift that you're like, God, I would love to have this. Would you give it to me? And but also, what is one fruit that you would love to see grown and displayed in your life? And so I'm just going to just invite you to just close your eyes and you just take a moment and ask the Lord, though, what is the gift that you long for the Lord to birth in you and to give to you? And what is the one area that you want to see godly character formed in this season over the summer? We walk back in here in August and September, football is going to be on. And what is it? What is the one thing you're like, man, my life has been marked with fill in the blank. It's kindness. Maybe it's patience. Maybe it's love. Maybe it's self-control. So Jesus, I thank you that I am an under-shepherd, that you are the leader of this church and every other church, that you are the head and we are the body, and each one of us are very distinct and unique, and each one of us brings something to the table that's different and needed. So Lord, I pray that we would be a people, a body, a community that welcomes your Holy Spirit, that we would live empowered by your Spirit in the big supernatural moments where somebody at work needs prayer for their back, that we would step out in faith and pray without hype, but just in humility and humble faith. Or whether it's somebody that needs a word of encouragement and you give us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or anything else, Lord, I pray that we would have the gifts of the Spirit represented here in a way that's good for all. Lord, I also recognize that you're calling us to intimacy with you, to be connected, to walk with you. And that as we grow in awareness of you and walk with you and yield to you, Holy Spirit, that we begin to look more and more like the one who saved us, the one who is our friend, the one who is the head of the church, Jesus himself. So this week, Lord, would you teach us to have eyes to see you, ears to hear you? That the word, as we read the scriptures, would come alive and it would just pierce us before we try to point it at somebody else. We'd point it at ourselves. May the fruit of the Spirit mark us. That the world would know that we are your disciples because of how we love one another. May that be the line. May that be our goal, that we would love God and love others before anything else. So Lord, I bless this summer. I bless what you're going to continue to do and teach through each person that's going to be sharing, how you're going to build community in our church, how you're going to continue to pour out your Spirit, how you're going to empower us and equip us for the ministry that you've given us to our families, our friends, our neighborhoods, our work. We bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's a great message, Derek. Appreciate it. So at this time, I'd like to call up the prayer team, but while they're coming up, I would just like to say, remember, live by the Spirit is who he will guide you in all walks of life. And we just thank you for all that you're doing. And just pray for Derek as he goes out on the sabbatical. Just keep him in your mind and your hearts. Thank you. You're dismissed.